Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good evening, day trippers. Tiago's Father 89 here from the Red Sea Podcast. We're here with your Red Sea full time, and the Revenge Tour is in full swing. The Revenge Tour has taken another turn, another victim, another one to die by the sword, another one to fall by the wayside. Atletico Madrid at home at Anfield, 2-0 in a comprehensive victory. Let's roll that match reaction intro. Trippers. We are here and we are live and direct for your match reaction show. It's 2-0 to the mighty Reds against Atletico Madrid. Once again, the Revenge Tour rambles on. It was comprehensive. And do you know what? To cap it off, the Ox was absolutely fucking unbelievable, man. He was unbelievable tonight. SS, talk to me, bro. Because I am so... I've got the mic in my fucking hands.
Wow, that was quality. Oh, it was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? It's nice to not have any real negativity at all. It was walk in the park, wasn't it? You know, 20 minutes in, 2-0 up, and then the red card comes and you think, right, that is well and truly over. And yeah, the only thing I could be uber critical on, I would have liked a third, but you know, we had chances, we missed chances, and like you said, just off of air, it was game management, it was take the sting out of the game, play the rest of the match out. You know, we've got West Ham coming up at the weekend, which is a huge game. We've then got the international break. Everybody can have a recuperation that's not going away, which is a fair few of them as well. So yeah, job well done. Top of the group. It won every single game. And we can now rest players in those remaining two games. So yeah, perfect night, really.
I agree with you. And Kev O'Sullivan literally took my thunder. A thing of beauty, mate. Clean sheets are sexy, mate. Especially off the back of Suarez disallowed goals. That's when clean sheets just get even more beautiful. I'm telling you, son, they get even more beautiful. But look, it was just never in doubt. From the start, Atletico just came with the same shithouse behaviour. And we just went, nope, not today. Not today. And do you know what? A key factor, because when we went 2-0 up, I sat there and I thought to myself, we've been here before.
The deja vu
moments just kicked in because two is a dangerous lead. But we were emphatic today. So let's get into it. Let's start to dissect this game against Atletico Madrid. So let's talk about the first goal because, again, another thing of beauty.
Yeah, no, like you say, Diogo Jota. I mean, Trent, I've got my Trent shirt on today. He did me proud. Two assists, unbelievable. And yeah, like you say, the first one, that the cross Jota timed his run perfectly. We've seen him do similar for Portugal, arriving at the right time in the right place. And he couldn't really miss, to be fair, could he? You know, it was right in front of goal. You know, Oblak is such a good goalkeeper, in my opinion. I said on our preview show on the Red Sea pod, I think Alisson and Oblak are the best two goalies on the planet. That's my opinion. That you don't have to agree with me. Mm-hmm. But to beat him, it's got to be something incredibly special, or it's got to be one of those sweaty goals that the FIFA players call it, where you take the goalkeeper out of the equation. You know, you play the ball across the goal. He can't physically be in two places at once. So that kind of style of play, you know, we had a lot of the early possession, a lot of early chances, a lot of early territory. Atletico were really struggling to get in the game. But one thing that I tend to struggle with Atletico, they lack a bit of identity for me, because the way that when Simeone took over them, they were very much, you know, miles behind Real, miles behind Barcelona. You know, they hadn't won anything in a long, long time. And he made them dogging. He made them hard to beat. He made them a 1-0 clean sheet machine. And he still plays the back five, but he starts with a front three strikers at Anfield with a back five. I'm just trying to work out what he's trying to do.
Well, I think from that perspective, and we'll move into that really quick, is that he's looking at the group and he's thinking, I need to win and I need goals. Because the first game up in the group, AC Milan Porto, ended 1-1. So yeah, he's looking at it thinking, I need to score. He's coming in there thinking, I need three, with no reply. And I spoke about it on our own podcast. And again, I'll be open. I thought we'd lose. I almost took it as a free shot. I didn't expect us to come out the traps in the way that we did. So I am totally taken aback, hence why I'm so hyped up about this game. I predicted a 2-0 loss. And there's no shame in that, because I think if we'd have walked out there in a 2-0 loss, we go to Porto, they're our whipping boys, they get their asses spanked once again. We go to Milan and we get a draw, you know, and it winds up, we top the group anyway. But for this response was unbelievable. Liverpool were just dogged. They were first to everything, second balls as well, tackling hard, playing the ball through the lines. Just on that Trent delivery, I tweeted it.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again, live and direct. Trent Alexander-Arnold is second to nobody in terms of his delivery. There's only one man I've seen that can play a ball the same way that Trent can play a ball, and it's David Beckham. No one else comes close. No one else in world football comes close to that kid and the way that he can put a ball on a threepence in front of that back line, behind that back line. Ultimately, we talk about the goalkeeper having to make a decision. Yeah. Having played the goalkeeper position and also watching my son play the goalkeeper position, that's what you call no man's land.
Yeah.
If you come, the ball's taking you out of the game. If you stay, the striker's breaking your heart. You have no choice. It's either which way do you want to die? It's literally pick your death, because that is what that ball was. It's pick your death. And you just see it, because when he receives the ball back from Henderson, and normally it's Hendo in that deep channel that's normally playing that ball, but you want no other man than Trent to actually be there to whip that ball in. And it's whipped in with pace. It's whipped in with precision. And all Jota's got to do is kind of run into it. He hasn't even got to attack it. He's just got to kind of get something on it.
Yeah.
Just some sort of connection. And it's going in. It's you even think about the goal that we scored against United. Similar. Behind the back four, in no man's land, where the goalkeeper has to commit, or he dies either way. And again, all he's got to do is get some connection on the ball and it's going in the back of the net. So I don't really want to single Jota out for praise there. That goal is all about Trent's vision. It's all about Trent's craft and guile to say, do you know what? That bit in between the goal line and the box is where that ball's going. All you got to do is get something on it, lads. And if you don't, you're an idiot. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, you can't give any more chance than that. And what I really liked about it is, like you say, the first goal is that delivery, that Beckham-esque kind of cross on a sixpence. And the second goal is very different, because it's like a driven kind of cross. And he knows that that's what's going to work in that situation. It's not just random, oh, I've not hit the ball as well as I could normally do. He's literally thought, Mane's coming in, I'll drive it low into his path. And again, all he has to do really is redirect it with his foot, get any kind of connection on it whatsoever. And like you say, Oblak comes, he gets beaten to it, he stays, it, you know, it's pick your corner. And again, it's less about Mane and more about Trent again for that second goal. So man of the match for me, hands down. And just before we finished with Trent, I actually thought his defending tonight was absolutely brilliant. I think he made a couple of the tackles, very Van Dijk-esque, just kind of very casual, just putting your foot, wrapping it around the ball and just walking off with the ball, not diving, not running after it, just in the right place at the right time, timing your tackle perfectly and giving it onto to a red shirt. So I was very, very impressed with him. And yeah, without doubt, man of the match for me.
Just get to this little question for me. I like Thiago's father. This Thiago's haircut is additional sub. Listen, dude, just to see my son, my beautiful son, back on the bench and actually involved is a thing of beauty. But as footballing dads always are, I have to be critical. What in the fuck was he doing when he got stripped of the ball in the midfield? Mm. Like, dude, like you're on the pitch just to keep it ticking over, bro. Just keep it ticking over. Don't try and get all extravagant because we're 2-0 up and we're cruising. Just keep it ticking. I'll put it down to a bit of ring rust and a little bit of dust that he needs to blow off those boots. But I can't be having that because that gave me a heart attack. I can't lie. I was literally on my sofa laid down thinking, oh my God, they're going to score and they're going to come for me in my Twitter fucking mentions. Don't ever do that again. And we're cool.
It's one of them though, isn't it? I mean, we've had times where we've been counted against. I remember the Spurs one with Sissoko and Van Dijk running back. You know, when you got Van Dijk and Matip, two giants, both fairly quick over a short period, short distance. I felt comfortable, even though we were on the back foot running towards our own goal. I felt okay, you know. So it wasn't great. Thiago was a bit rusty. It's the perfect game to bring him on in again, similar to when he came back, you know, the first time. I think he made his debut against Chelsea against 10 men. You know, he got on the ball, blew through the cobwebs off, and I think maybe he made a deal not to have a haircut till he got back to playing again. But we'll see. Hopefully, he can feature against West Ham at the weekend because we've had a knock to Chamber, we've had a knock to Firmino. Jones, I think, missed out tonight with a knock as well. Keita's out for 6 weeks, so you know, it, obviously, the international break will probably help him. He'll probably train a bit more. I don't know if he'll go to the Spain squad or not. That's probably for you to say rather than me, but. Hopefully, when he comes back, he can be a major part of the team for the next sort of period up to Christmas.
I totally agree. And guys, we've got 92 people in here watching. So if 92 of you just 101, just press that little like button. Let's get this video to 100 likes.
100%.
This Red Sea full-time reaction video is absolutely smashing it off the back of a 2-0 comprehensive win against Atletico Madrid. So smash that like button whilst you're there as well. Right, just want to get through a couple of these comments. Because we got a few people. Shout out to you, Laura Duffy, regular in here as well. Loving Thiago's hair.
Well, good comments, Laura.
Yeah, I'm loving Thiago's hair as well. he does do this once again, doesn't he? But look, another player that's getting singled out for some good praise, as normal, was the Hoover.
Yeah,
the guy that sweeps up absolutely everything.
Yeah,
Fabinho. I mean. It wasn't vintage Fabinho. It wasn't vintage Fab by any stretch of the imagination because you didn't really see him getting on the ball as much and knitting things together like he normally does and trying to play out. He was just dogged. He was in there for the war. He was in there for the battle. So I wouldn't put it down to the best Fabinho performance I've ever seen, but it was effective. He broke up play. He acted as that screen to our back four and... just done his job. He's done his job effectively. But I just think to myself, when you walk out with a 2-0 win at home and as comprehensive as we did, you can't really criticise him. He's done what he's supposed to have done. He plays some decent stuff. But as I said, he's come back off the back of an injury. Yeah. The performances are only going to get better. But it wasn't vintage Fabinho, but he served his role.
I mean, it's his presence that makes the difference. I mean, I said again on our preview show with Kendall and Courtney last night that he is the difference. I think I know the game went in our favour anyway tonight more than we would have expected. But in my prediction, I was saying that Fabinho is the difference because I remember in the game 2 weeks ago, Atletico got two back from two down. We put Fabinho on at half time and they don't score again. You know, and tonight Fabinho plays and they don't score. So he is the perfect player in that position, and he releases Jordan Henderson. I like to see Jordan Henderson more of a box-to-box player because he can do it. He's good going forward. He's good on the ball. He's good with his distribution. Fabinho does that CDM role better than anybody else, in my opinion, in the league. I would have him over Kante. That's my own opinion. Don't have to agree with it. But he, for me,
Kante's not a CDM.
Well,
I'm not having it. Anyone that tells me Kante's a CDM is gassing. He's not a CDM. I'm not having it. So you're right. Fabinho is the best CDM in the league.
I wouldn't have anybody else in that position. But yeah, you're right. Similar to Thiago. He's, you know, he was injured. He was with Brazil. He came back. I think he had to go just directly to Spain and miss the Watford match and all the rest of it. So give him the break. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't have to have a Brazil Friday game the night before he's due to come back again to Liverpool. I haven't had a look at that yet, but you know, probably does. But hopefully once we get this international break out of the way, that's it till March. There's no more breaks. It's football, football, football. Mm-hmm. All the way through to the spring. So yeah, I think if we get Fabinho back, Thiago back, full flow, hopefully avoid some more injuries, because it doesn't seem that we can play a game without picking up something at the minute.
I know. And look, let's just get on to the injuries really quick. Bobby pulling up with an innocuous potential hamstring. Is it a case, because he was out with a similar injury before, Is this something that's going to start happening with Bobby because of his age? Is he playing too much football, or is he being rushed back? Or is it just...
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
A bit of bad luck. And this international break comes at a perfect time, because we can afford to play Jota, Mane and Salah against West Ham. That's enough firepower to put West Ham to the sword. Yeah. That then gives Bobby time to recover for our running after the international break, heading into the Christmas fixture period, which is a busy period for the Reds.
Definitely. But
do we need to manage his games a little bit more? They were talking before the show or before the game on BT in regards to, you know, Jota or Bobby, who's going to start getting the nod. Jota gets a nod over Bobby, obviously. The goals that Jota's scoring, the way that he plays, is slightly different in that false nine position. Are we now going to start seeing a changing of the guard where Jota and Bobby are concerned and Bobby gets a few less minutes?
Potentially. I mean, I've always said it, that I think we needed a fifth attacking option, because with a front four, if you get one injury, which we saw last year with Jota out for 3 months playing in, you know, a meaningless Champions League game, and let's be fair, one of them are probably going to be playing in one of these last two games. You know, they might pick up an injury. So it's a dangerous game to play with only four players in three positions. So it's always going to happen, because they're always going to play a lot of games. And Klopp doesn't usually use Origi and Minamino on a week-to-week basis. So it's very much three of those four. And if one of them have a knock, it picks itself. If you want to rest one, the one that's rested tends to come on and play anyway. So yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of minutes. There's not much rotation going forwards. But yeah, it's one of them. If he's going to get injured, hopefully it's not for a long period. But yeah, if he misses out on the West Ham game and is back for the next game after the international break, it's not too much of a worry.
Oh God, why do people draw me out? Right, fuck it, I'm here. Paul Smith, sir, I do believe that you are lost. You've obviously been looking for the Chelsea chat room, and you've unfortunately stumbled into the Liverpool chat room. Please use the exit on your left. And whilst you do that, take your shithouse comment with you. We'll say no more about it.
Well put.
Moving on. Anyway, so let's talk about the red. Let's talk about the red card.
Good point.
I mean, look, and there's another comment in here as well, right? BT have awful commentators, and
this is I knew this was going to come up.
I think it needs to come up, because McManaman isn't blessed with his commentary skills. Yeah, he's not blessed with his commentary skills, but he's just kind of speaking his mind. Now, if you look at the red card from the first instance, you're thinking, what on earth is he just given that first red for, or that red for? He's just giving him a straight red. There's no yellow or no follow or subsequent yellow after that for dissent. He's just gone, do you know what, bro? Bam, have that. Yeah, and I'm sitting there thinking, boy, that's harsh. I'm like, thinking, that is harsh.
He wasn't messing about, was he?
He was not fucking around. And I'm thinking the ref is moving a little bit harsh tonight. And then when you actually start to deep it and really gets into the nooks and cracks as to why he's given that card, it's for dangerous play. And when you see the tackle back, the tackle's naughty. Mm. He's had a rake down the back of the leg and he's not really in control. So, yes, it's a straight red card for me based on that. But without seeing that back, you're sitting there thinking, ref, calm down, bro. Like, and all of a sudden, he starts dishing out the yellow. He's like, oh, yeah. You get one as well. You can have one. Yeah,
everybody gets a yellow card.
Everyone gets a yellow.
Oh, do you know what? It reminded me of about, must have been, God, over 10 years ago now when we were at Goodison against Everton and Tim Cahill did a foul, standard yellow card, just literally sprinted off to defend the free kick. Referee was calling him, come back, kept running back, saying, yeah, I understand, I got a yellow. And the ref was like, no, come here. And he didn't. And then he thought, okay, I'll give you a red card then. And that's initially what I thought this was. I thought, you know, because he blew his whistle once, he called him, he didn't come, he called him a second time, he then called him a third time, and he sort of goes down to sort his socks out and sort of starts looking the other direction. And he's like, all right, you want to disrespect me? Then off you go. And that's initially what I thought. But, you know, like you mentioned with the commentators, they spoke about in the second half that it was actually for the tackle. That's what the information they'd got. And seeing the replay, Mané's off. It's one of them where you're stopping a counter-attack, you take the yellow card, but it wasn't a usual just break up the play. It was more than that, wasn't it? You know, the ball had gone. Mané was sort of two or three steps ahead of him, and he kind of, like you say, put his studs, dragged it all the way down the back of his leg, which was really, really nasty. Again, I think the red is a little bit harsh. It's in the middle. It's kind of a 75% for me. If 50 is a yellow and 100 is a red, it depends on the strictness of the referee. And as you've just correctly said, it's...
You sound like Macca right now.
I sound like Macca. Do you know?
Yeah.
I actually like him, and I'm going to be controversial.
Oh, no, don't do it.
The reason I'm a Liverpool fan is Steve McManaman. Okay? When I was seven years old, I picked Liverpool because of him. So
I apologize to the audience unequivocally right now.
I like having him on the commentary. He's not the greatest commentator in the world, no. But it works for Liverpool because he speaks his mind and he says, from a Liverpool point of view, a Liverpool fan point of view, on Champions League nights, you know, it's easy. You know, Liverpool got the job done, all these kind of things. And I like it. I've grown up watching him commentate, you know, especially when we've been successful in recent years. So I like the BT commentary. I'm going to be controversial.
I think the BT commentary is shit.
I know I'm in the minority of about 1%.
Yes, and you make up for all of that 1%, all of it.
I do.
All of it. Because everybody in the chats right now, everybody in the chats right now is hammering the BT.
No, I agree with Laura, you know.
Shout out to you, Laura Duffy.
100% agree with you, but, you know, nostalgia is the human race's weakness, isn't it? You know,
you need to avoid it. Don't let it kill you off.
Yeah, but I like him. I love Steve McManaman. He's an absolute legend and the reason I'm here. So there you go.
No. Credit where credit's due. He is a total legend in terms of a Liverpool guys. I remember the infamous white suit and the galloping down the wing and everything. Did you know? I loved Steve McManaman as well. And the fucking hair, the moppy hair and whatever not. You know, he was part of that class of excellence that came out of Liverpool and went on to do great things, went to Real Madrid as well. A great export for English players. And probably, you know, one of the first to do it in a Real Madrid shirt in terms of English players. You know, you look who's gone there since. You know, Jonathan Woodgate,
back,
flop. Owen, Beckham, Gareth Bale. So, yeah, I give him his credit where credit is due, and you give him his flowers where flowers due. But let's be very, very clear on one thing. Put the mic down, bro. It's not for you. It's not fair for enough. You. Put the mic down. Look, here you go, Chris. Right, look. But Muppet sums it up very, 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 very.
I'm not gonna disagree, but you know where I stand on it.
100%. Do you know what, right? I keep throwing these comments up here from Thiago's hair. I love your name, bro. Thiago's hair. I love that.
Yeah, but he might shave it again and then you're going to have to change it.
No, because he just switches it up. He's talking about the style, not just about the hair he's got now. He's talking about the long-term style of Thiago. He obviously gets it from me, but we'll say no more about that at all. We'll say no more about that. So just quickly, because we haven't discussed the second goal, because it's been, you know, we're just riding this wave of absolutely smashing Atletico and slapping Diego Simeone in the head because of the shithouse behaviour from the last game. But talk us through the second goal, bro.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did touch on it slightly, didn't we, with the Trent, the driven cross rather than the, you know, the placement one. So,
yes.
It's good play from Liverpool. You know, something that I've enjoyed watching Liverpool evolve as a team, because when Klopp first came in, you know, heavy metal, it was very much attack, you know, maybe two, three passes from front to back and hoping to score on the counter-attack with quick players. But, you know, I think we tried with the signing of Thiago to try and mix it up, become more of a possession-based team. And even without him in the team, you can see that that's what we've tried to do. So keeping the possession and, you know, scoring goals that you've mentioned, you know, Man United game, the Atletico game tonight, basically almost walking it in, you know, making that one extra pass to make sure it's a goal, not shooting and risking the goalie saving it, literally getting him with no chance of saving the goal. And, you know, the Keita goal against United after 5 minutes, he's literally one-on-one because we've just done pass from left to right. You know, even if Keita needs another option, there's another one. And like you say tonight, you know, I think, again, there's matches this season where Jota's slid in at the back post and behind him is Milner sliding in anyway. So I like this kind of style of pushing the ball across the goal, getting our fast players to beat that, you know, that offside line. And yeah, I mean, there was a few close ones. You know, Jota obviously scored, but it was disallowed for offside in the second half of that really good Matic pass. So again, it was nice to see a mixture, you know, not just playing the same way, the same style. So I did enjoy seeing Liverpool attack in a slightly different way, mixing it up a little bit. And yeah, the through ball, it was such a good through ball from Matic. It was a shame that it was disallowed, wasn't it? But, you know, attacking from the left, attacking from the right has been our style for about 4 years. So, you know, why not? Let's get some ball playing centre backs. Let's get some deep line playmakers and let's play the ball through the lines and be difficult to predict. And that, you know, that's the best way to win every week, because you're never going to play against the same style, against the same team, against the same defence, same formation. It's always going to be different. So you have to have different options, different ways of evolving, and not just with personnel, but you need to change up the style. And I'm really pleased and I'm really excited for what this season's going to bring, because we look really strong, even with all the injuries we've had. You know, we've 25 games unbeaten. We're averaging 3 goals a game. I think that's 45 goals in 15 matches. It's fantastic and a clean sheet to boot. So very, very
good. I totally agree. And guys, just a reminder, we've got 160 people in here watching the show. Make sure every single one of you are liking this video. We're currently at 66 likes. Can we get that to 100 likes before we close the show? We've got just under 5 minutes of the show left, so hit that like button. And also, whilst you're scrolling through YouTube this evening, why not head over to the Red Sea Podcast and give us a follow as well? We've just broken the 500 barrier and we are heading towards 600. We're a new channel. We've been going since August, so please make sure you head over. And if you want to see our pretty faces a little bit more, you can find us over there for more of our own shows also. But a player which stood out today, and we haven't spoken enough about him as well. We've talked about all the other guys in terms of the players that have played this evening, but Ox.
Mm.
Roma 2018 vibes today, baby. Like, that was...
I think we're going to disagree here.
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Listen,
go on, based on...
Based on current Oxlade-Chamberlain performances, yeah, this is outstanding. Based on the what we've seen up to date, yeah, he has played some shit football of late. Today was a nice welcome refresh. I'm not saying it was perfect, but what I am saying, yeah, is that it was so much better than it has been. And I'm here for that. A player which has suffered with injuries over a long period of time, a player who suffered with confidence over a long period of time. It was good to see him doing what Oxlade-Chamberlain normally does, and that's getting on the ball and committing people, running, just getting the ball, getting his head down and saying, do you know what? I'm going to break the lines. I'm going to drive forward. I'm going to get us up the pitch. And that is what he was doing in 2018, which arguably made him one of the first names on the team sheet under Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah, I didn't see anything particularly special from Ox. I don't think he was involved much. I think he gave the ball away a few times. He kicked the ball out of play. He found himself out of position a few times and had to do like this crazy, you know, 7-year-old sprint back. Like, you know, it's just sort of like, come on, mate. You know, he's trying too hard for me. I think he knows where it's going. You know, he goes down with a knock. He comes off, has a chat with Klopp, and I think Klopp goes, if you're going to come off now, mate, it's over. Give me another 10 minutes at least, because this is getting ridiculous. And Ox is on the side going, yeah, fair play. All right, I'll give it another 10. So he goes on, he puts it in. But for me, it's an inevitability that he's probably going to be moving on in the summer.
Look, just quickly. We heard you, mate. We heard you the first time. All right, calm down. Keep your pants on. Mate, we do everything over at the Red Sea Podcast. The best way for you to find out is type it in on YouTube, hit the like and the subscribe button, and then you'll know a little bit more. But again, if you want to see our pretty faces, all you've got to do is head over there. Chris Brack, I love you, baby. This is what I'm talking about. SS, you
are... I'm out of opinion.
No, listen, I'm not shooting down for your opinion, bro. You're allowed to say whatever the hell you like. This is the Red Sea full time. We pull no punches. You say whatever the hell you like, my man. But tonight, you have to admit that his performance was a gazillion times better from where it has been. All he was doing, he was tasked with getting in amongst it, breaking up the play, and causing a little bit of panic. And the Atletico players couldn't live him. Look in the second half. He had three or four players around him and still made it out of the corner with the ball.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
He was right. He didn't play badly. I've got Fabinho and Henderson. You got Fabinho and Henderson, in my opinion, world class. I wouldn't swap them two for anybody in the midfield. No. The third midfielder has become that second centre back, hasn't it? You know, we've always had, whenever we've got team of the seasons or, you know, UEFA awards, it's always been Van Dijk, Trent and Robertson getting the award because we've never had that fixed centre back. And now Matip and Konate are much improved. But I still feel that's the situation in the midfield. I think it's those two and that one other one. It's very, very difficult to pick. You know, if you did a team of the season at the end of the season, Henderson and Fabinho are going to have a shout. The third midfielder isn't because it's always someone different. So, yeah, Ox was all right, but I didn't see anything more than I've not seen in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks of him cameo appearances. And, as soon as someone comes back that's better than him, he'll be back on the bench again, which is majority of the midfielders in the squad.
Yeah, but he's played his role. He's played that rotation role, and we need that rotation. He's come on and done what's asked of him. And again, it's a lot better than what we've seen in recent weeks. That's much improved. And obviously, you don't get no trophies for most improved player or shit like that. I get it, but
you're doing your seven.
I'm just pleased to see him on the pitch. I'm pleased to see him getting involved, doing what Oxlade-Chamberlain has always done to great effect. Like I said, the midfield has passed him by. We want to control and dominate more of the ball. We don't necessarily want to play that rock and roll, erratic football that we're used to. We want tempo. We want ball. We want possession. Hence why Thiago's in there. That's what he's there for. Yeah. But in a game like this against Atletico Madrid, Klopp referenced it before the game. He was great in our last time we played them at home. So let's hope and see he can replicate the same form. And he's done exactly the same thing. Some players like playing against certain teams. And I feel that the Atletico Madrid's shithouse style of play suited Oxlade-Chamberlain down to an absolute fucking T. And Kev O'Sullivan, I agree with you. He has got Sky Plus, I'm sure. I think he should wind it back and watch it. Other TV broadcasters and operators are available.
I just have very high standards. I see an average to good performance. There's nothing to talk about, in my opinion. He was all right. He was a 7 out of 10. That's what I'd expect as a minimum from a Liverpool player. So when he turns up and does an 8 or a 9, I'll give him credit. And he was good tonight. He was all right. Neat and tidy, as they've said. But we're Liverpool Football Club. We're not just neat and tidy. We want quality. And yeah, a lot of our players were sevens. There was a couple, you know, there was a couple of good goals in the first half. The red card, and then the second half was a training session. It was a procession. We didn't really have to get out of second or third gear, did we? I like the Ox. I think Ox is a really good player and has been. But I'm not going to say, oh my God, he was incredible when he wasn't. He was just all right. That's it. As were most of the 11 tonight. You know, it wasn't a difficult game. You know, we got the job done early. We were brilliant, out the traps early. The red card completely killed the game off, and we maintained in game management in the second half. We've topped the group, 4 wins out of 4. Absolutely fantastic. But I'm not going to sit here and rant and rave about Ox playing decent for 75 minutes.
I just reckon that you're a fucking hard date. That's what I think. I think you're a hard date. I reckon you could be taken out for like a full Michelin star restaurant, you know, with fucking Gordon Ramsay or Mark Pierre Cardin, right, whatever his name is, and you turn around and go, no, I need better. I don't want nip and tuck. I want excellency.
Yeah, I do rate the Ox, but I you know, when he played away to Genk and got those two worldies, I'd talk about him. Top red.
Oh God! Listen, mate. The chats are coming for you, bro.
I think Smikas is worth a shout, isn't he, tonight?
I'm still choking on this Ox shit. Timikas, go for it.
Yeah, so I thought, obviously, Robertson has had his critics, I would say, this season. I don't think he's come up to the best level that we've seen, because we've seen Trent v. Robbo in the assists, you know, for the last 3 or 4 seasons. And I think Trent is miles ahead of Robbo in terms of the last 12 months in assists. So Smikas is rightly so getting his chances. I think he deserved to play tonight. It made sense for him to play tonight. The interesting one is the weekend, isn't it? Does Robbo come back in? I think he does. But I thought Smikas played well tonight. He didn't look half asleep for a change. A couple of decent balls in.
He fucking did when he had to put that ball behind.
That was a strange one. He just kind of lost his bearings a bit. But, you know, if you give it out for a corner and they score from the corner, it looks silly.
Dopey.
That they didn't. So
dopey
twat. It was fine. But, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we don't really have anybody vying for Trent's position. You know, we've got Gomez out of position right back. We've got Nico Williams, kind of a under 23 player that's not really in the first team regularly. And we've got James Milner, who can do a job there against some people. But, you know, I like to see rotation, healthy rotation, because I think that brings the best out of the players. You look at Alonso and Chilwell at Chelsea. They both have to be brilliant because they've got the other one breathing down their neck if they're not, you know. So I thought Smikas played really well tonight. Yeah, I thought he did. That was one of his better performances so far.
Yeah, look, and Thiago's here. SS is getting absolutely fucking cooked in the comments tonight.
everybody in here just wants to say Liverpool are amazing. Everybody was 10 out of 10 in the video after 30 seconds, I think.
No, listen, you're getting cooked in here, bro. I could find a whole lot of shit in here for you tonight, man. You're getting cooked. Paul Smith, stop. Just stop, dude.
I still maintain it, mate. Cater or Chambo leaving the summer.
Yeah, 100%. We know this.
I'd get rid of both of them.
We know this. But I reckon based on current issues and current affairs, Cater's getting fucking shown the door. But never mind. We won't go into that because we can quite easily open up a can of worms. But quickly, true. Paul Smith. Dude.
That's a bit harsh.
You know, like when you're on, you know, like you're on a plane where they're doing this.
But when they ask where your seat is and they go, yes, yeah, straight down there with every other seat.
Yeah, that's it, dude. Like, mate, you're having an absolute fucking mare in here tonight. I'm telling you, son, you have an absolute mare in here, guys. We are going to start to wrap it up because today has been absolutely epic. Look, oh, here we go. Look, Chris SS, the comments are saying everyone is amazing. All we are doing is giving credit to Chamberlain and good for listen. Chris is trying to cook you in here tonight. Well,
good solid 7 out of 10 in a game that was over at halftime. Good effort, bottom. Like, he did well. No. That was it. He played well. We won the game. Brilliant. But I'm not going to go, oh my God, Ox played amazing. Because he didn't. He was average.
Oh my God. Let's not do it tonight, please. Guys, look, guys,
We're still speak at your mind on air, you're in trouble.
We're still at 66 likes. What is going on? Hit the like button. Hit the like button. We are about to close. Before you leave, this is your 30-second warning. Hit that like button before we go. 100 likes on this video. Smash it. Smash it, smash it, smash it, smash it, smash it. Right. What we got coming up on our shows this week? We got West Ham preview. What we got quite a few bits bubbling, haven't we?
Yeah, we're hoping to get a bit of West Ham TV involved. That's tomorrow night for a Liverpool West Ham preview show around 9 o'clock. So we'll be getting that out on Twitter with a little bit more fault for lack of likes. Yeah, I agree. It is my fault. That's why we've not got any subs. We started this bit on 512. Yeah, Thursday night we got West Ham preview. Sunday night we're back with your Red Sea full time for West Ham. And then we've got the international break and we're hoping to finish off the tier list series that we've been doing. So we've been doing everything from goalkeepers to strikers from the 70s to now. And we'll finish off with strikers part three because there's bloody loads of them. One for managers as well. And I think we're going to do like a Christmas special, the best team of all time of Liverpool, which is going to be very, very good. And we get the likes of Paul and Chris from Redmen on there as guests. So they're always a good laugh. But yeah, lots coming up. So guys, search right now because this video is going to end. Put the Red Sea podcast into your YouTube search and hit subscribe. Why not? There's 140 people. If just 40 of you did it, 20 of you did it, I would appreciate it. And I'll say Ox had a good game. Go on.
So hold on. Chris sends his love, I'm sure. We love you too, Chris. We love you too. And Paul Smith is still fucking at it. Dude, chill. Yeah, so basically, we've got loads going on the channel this week. We're hoping on Friday to launch our all-new show as well. This will be a Premier League roundup show where we are discussing all of the latest Premier League fixtures directly on the Red Sea podcast. You know where to find us. Please make sure you head over and like and subscribe. Yes, it is bribery. It is bribery. You know where to find us. Make sure you head over, you like and subscribe. Guys, this has been your Match Reaction Show, courtesy of the Red Sea Podcast. This is your Red Sea full-time show via LFC Day Trippers. Catch us back here again for all of your Match Reaction Shows. You'll be summing up the West Ham show once we finished in that game as well. And guys, all of a sudden, he's out of the fucking basement, isn't he?
He got a couple of goals, didn't he? Do you know, I had an acca on tonight. I had five teams to win. And guess what? Yeah. PSG concede a penalty in the 92nd minute, don't they?
Oh.
Absolute joke.
And on that bombshell, we're over and we're out. Sports Social Podcast Network.